Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians 2, 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And I know we could keep on reading there, but pray with me. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you as we look at this one truth that you've given us tonight. Please open our eyes. Help me, Lord, please, as I preach. Strengthen us. Lord, help us to be better witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Our text verse is verse number 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now I'm going to preach a message tonight, and it's just called this, called trespasses. You say, "Preacher, I don't know of why you need to preach an evangelistic sermon tonight." I'm going to preach it in a way I hope it teaches you about one aspect of our salvation so that it helps you be a better soul winner. Amen. You ought to understand, we ought to understand every once in a while, look at what God did for us. Not because I'm one, although if somebody's here and they're lost, I hope as the Lord touches your heart, you get that right. And my goodness, that's easy to do and we'll rejoice with you. But there's another angle of this. When you look at the word sin in the Bible, the word sin means to miss the mark, right? You all heard the illustration of playing darts with somebody? Throw a dart, somebody may miss the bullseye this much. Somebody may miss the bullseye this much, but everybody sinned and missed the bullseye. Then there's two other words in your Bible used for sin, only it's different, and God uses it on purpose. Iniquity and transgression. Transgression. They're not the same. They are forms of disobedience, but it's important that we understand it. No one could ever boast of saving themselves because they are dead in trespasses and sins. How can you save yourself if you're dead? This is God's description of us. You didn't get saved by any way other than through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ because you were dead in trespasses and sins. Some people think that they're close to being a Christian, but they aren't there yet. Or some will say, "Well, I'm almost ready for heaven, but not all the way." Or, "I'm inching closer to eternal life, but I haven't made the commitment yet." You're either totally saved or you're totally lost. You're not 50% in and 50% out, 90% in, 10% out. You're either saved by the grace of God or you're dead in trespasses and sins. Our culture, our society makes salvation harder to understand and grasp by what have they done? They've rewritten all the rules. They're trying to rewrite all the rules. They're redefining all the doctrines. And they've tried to do everything they possibly can to kick God off of the throne and put man on the throne. That's called humanism, where a self-exalted, you make yourself your own deity. The need for salvation and being saved is hard to see. It is possible, and I'm so glad God's still in the soul-saving business. Holy Spirit still convicts. However, when you program somebody with God is just so wonderful that you're interested in Him, which is that self-help stuff, you ought to be, what? God's known where you've been all the time. But when you program somebody with, "You're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful," and then you present them with the gospel, they're going, "Why do I need salvation? I've been told my whole life that I'm wonderful, and if I doubt it, I'll check my Facebook page." Honestly, have you thought about that? Now, praise God. I love leading people to the Lord. I love showing people how to get saved. I'm just saying the need for salvation in our society is hard to see because humanism teaches you that you're so wonderful. God's word says we're dead in trespasses and sins. The word trespass, it means to cross a boundary line unlawfully. It means to go over, just like when you've seen the signs that say no trespassing. That means don't cross that line. But it also means this. It means to walk upon the ground of another. It means to voluntarily violate any divine law or command. It also means to fail in any duty or responsibility. The word sin means to miss the mark. The word trespass takes it another step further. You have violated what God told you not to do. All of us, God says, all of us have been, if you're saved tonight, God says we were all dead in trespasses and sins. If I read just 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. There's a description again. There's not a person here who's not crossed one or more of God's lines. There's not one of us who have not intruded into God's territory. There's not one of us who have not failed to meet a divine command or some sort of divine ordinance. We have all trespassed. To trespass means to go too far. You've trespassed. You have crossed the line. You've went too far. Now, this is not by my definition. This is by God's definition. We've all gone too far in the wrong direction. It says, you're right there in Ephesians 2, where you're at, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according, watch this, to the course of this world. When you were in the world, before I got saved, when I asked the world, have I gone too far? They said, no, you haven't gone too far. The devil gladly, it says, the spirit that worketh, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When I asked the friends that I was drinking with, have I drunk too much? No, you need to get drunk, we'll carry you home. You haven't gone too far. The devil says, oh, you can sin 1,000 times. You're only at 973. You have 28 more to go, 27 more to go. You can sin some more. When you ask the world, they say, no, you haven't trespassed enough. To trespass also means this. It means to violate another's right. In other words, they're saying, when you cross this line, this is mine, it belongs to me, and I don't want you on it. If you do that and you trespass, you're violating their right. You're saying, I don't care if it's yours or not, I'll step where I want to step. The word trespass means to violate or to violate another's right. Watch this. The word trespass means to attack his person. In battle, they would say once they cross the line of what? Once they cross the, some call it a line of embarkation, some will call it a line of attack, but don't start shooting until they what? Cross this line. They're saying, we're coming, when we cross this line, we're going to attack you. All these words you'll see here in just a second. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, we were naturally the children of wrath, even as others. Did you know when you do what comes naturally in your flesh, you violate God's rights and you attack His person? You're trespassing. That's what it says there in verse 3. Romans 8:7, you say that is awfully severe. I don't think I can paint a horrible picture enough of sin. I can't paint disobedience horrible enough. And the worse I can paint sin, the more thankful we become that we're saved, right? But we have a tendency to say, well, okay, sin's bad, Jesus died for it, but how bad is it? It's an attack. It's an attack on God. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is enmity or at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, the Bible's the only book that describes me in my lost condition as dead. The world teaches self-esteem. Don't look down on yourself. Look up at how wonderful you are. You would think as much of the world thinks and says that keeping the Ten Commandments is important to get to heaven, that they'd have them memorized. But you'd search long and hard to find someone who has the Ten Commandments memorized. Take your Bible and let's look at them real quick. Transgression, Exodus chapter 20. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Watch this. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we'll look through these here and we'll show you the trespass. Trespass. Dead in trespasses and sins. God just didn't give us one commandment. He gave us 10. And I think you ought to be familiar with them. I do not have them memorized. I have some of them, but I have other verses memorized. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 12. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That tells me any other god is a trespass. Islam is a trespass. Buddhism is a trespass. Mormonism is a trespass. Jehovah's false witnesses are a trespass. False religions are an attack on the one true God. To worship nature or yourself is a trespass and a violation of God's rights. You have violated the person of God and attacked who God is. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if you do, you have trespassed. You have crossed the line. You have attacked who I am. You're saying I'm not important. I'm telling you I am the only one that I'm the one that made you and the only one that you need. You're telling me that you need another God. You need another, that I cannot do that. It's an attack on God's person. Watch this. Look at verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God says we're not supposed to make any images. Did you know the Catholic Bible doesn't have that verse in it? They took part of verse 5 and made it into verse 4 so that there is a 24 and a 25. But they took verse 4 out. Otherwise, how could you with a clean conscience bow before a statue of Mary? Or anything that's porcelain? Or an angel? Or whatever they're saying here, kneel before this. God says don't bow before anything. Now, I'm not one that, but some, you know, we had 3 months ago, somebody came into the church and they said, where's the pictures of Jesus? I said, we don't do that. They said, well, could you like put a big one like right up here? And I said, we could. I said, but we won't. And I didn't get into it with them. I wanted to, they were already in culture shock. You understand? I didn't want to say, God says it's sin. I didn't do that. But that was the first thing they said when they came in the church. I've looked all around and I don't see any pictures of Jesus. I said, I can play around, but I need to be careful as a pastor. You know what I mean? I need to not. They were learning. It's this verse here. Watch this. Verse number 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that, and look at those last three words, that hate me. And you say, oh, I was bowing myself down to another image. I wasn't hating God. God says, when you do that, it shows me that you hate me. And if you examine it, yes, it is. When you let other things or people control you, it violates God's rights to control you. Think about what I just said. I know probably nobody in here bows down to an image. But do you read your Bible as much as you read your phone? Do you realize how spiritual people would be if they spent as much time in their Bible as they do watching TV? Do you know before TV, people used to go home and talk. They didn't turn on an idiot box. My dad always called it the idiot box. Because the more you watch it, the dumber you get. The more it lowers your IQ. You know what I mean? You know what amusement is? Ah is Latin for no. Amuse. Muse is the word think. Why is it amusement? Because you can sit down and not do any thinking. And the more you do that, The more you do that, the weaker your mind becomes. If somebody told me the TV was invented by three evil men to make Americans lazy so that they wouldn't do anything else, I don't know that I'd ever research that. That sounds very believable. I don't think they did. Okay. But if somebody said, I know who invented the TV, people who wanted to destroy America, I'd probably say, sounds good. Because it has. It has. It's destroyed families. You see, the Lord interprets our serving other gods as hatred. Idolatry is hatred towards God. You see, God says, when you crossed the line that God drew, do not do this, you trespassed. Look at verse 7. Ready? Watch this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do you realize this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that God says if you do it, he will not hold you guiltless. This is the one thing that God says forgiveness does not follow. Isn't that interesting? God says if you take his name in vain, I won't hold you guiltless. This is the one of the ten that God says you don't get forgiveness for. Now, I know this is talking to the Jews. I know that. But I wish people would read it and say, you know what? Maybe I don't need to say, oh my God, that was good. Oh my God, that was fun. I find it insulting, and I think everybody in here does, when you hear the name of the Lord Jesus used as a cuss word, and God's last name isn't damn. Used to say that in the Marines. When I'd hear people, you know, GD this or GD that, I'd say, God's last name isn't damn. God says, quit using my name in a useless, vain way. And I believe also, when you look at it, it means this. You're not supposed to commit evil in the name of the Lord either. When a lost person commits evil, the world expects it and doesn't condemn it. But when a Christian, in the name of God, commits evil, they are damaging God's name. Cults and false religions like Islam who murder in the name of God do God's name damage. So, what does the world say? Religions killed more people than any other. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're talking about Catholics who killed Jews and Muslims. They're lost people. They're talking, no, religion, yes, a lot of blood has been shed in the name of religion, but Christians didn't do it. Lost people did. Lost people did. They've given God's name a bad name. Watch this. Let's go through this and we'll finish this here. Look at verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God says you trespass when you violate the rights of others. That's the last five commandments. The last five. The last six here. This is commandment number five. You are supposed to honor your parents. You are not supposed to honor your parents once you get to the age where God holds you accountable. An 18-year-old is not supposed to honor their parents to the point where they disobey the Bible. But you are supposed to honor your parents. Or you trespass. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know how. You can honor them and help them. It doesn't matter if your dad was a druggie or your mom was a prostitute. If they were, I'm sorry about that. But you can still honor them for being your parents. They should have honor. They should, okay, watch this. Verse number 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, lying. And verse 17 says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The tenth commandment is the only commandment that legislates thought. Killing, stealing, adultery, all those things, those are physical acts. God says, I don't want you coveting. Because if you covet, that would be it ends up being one of the reasons why people kill. Coveting ends up being a reason why people commit adultery. Coveting ends up being why people steal. Coveting ends up being why would somebody tell a lie? Because they want it or they don't think it should. But God says covetousness. This goes beyond envy and lust. God says in the commandments, God says when you cross that line, God says you have transgressed. Have you ever noticed when you're talking to someone about and you're showing them that they're a sinner, what's the thing they always tell you? They always tell you what they haven't done. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't done this. But they never tell you what they want to do. Right? They never tell you, well, I've never killed anybody. Yeah, but have you wanted to? Have you ever wanted to? So when you're talking to somebody, they're always very willing to show you what they haven't done. But they don't ever tell you. So when we look at the Ten Commandments, it's very obvious that we have all trespassed. One more thing. When somebody brings up the Ten Commandments to me, I always say, the very fact that God told you not to kill means you have the potential to. Every one of those thou shalt nots is because you're able to do every one of them. You have it in you. That's because of what we are. We're sinners. And when God says don't, it's because you have the potential to. That helps you when you're out soul winning. Watch this. You say, what are we... Go to Ezra. So we have all gone past the line, and we have all been dead in trespasses and sins. I'm almost done. What does God want us to know about trespasses? Two more passages. Watch this. Ezra chapter 9, it's right before Psalms there. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Ezra chapter 9, look at verse number 15. Ready? Ezra chapter 9, verse 15. O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before Thee in our trespasses. And then watch this. For we cannot stand before Thee because of this. How come you can't stand before God? If the important thing to know about trespasses is this. In the day when you're called before God and judged, if your trespasses have not been dealt with, your trespasses will not allow you to stand before the judge. You'll fall. That's why everybody falls on their face. But when your sins haven't been taken care of, God says we can't stand. God says you won't be able to stand. Take your Bible, you're there in Ezra, go to Psalm. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Look at verse number 19, and we'll read these three verses here. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto the God the Lord belong the issues from death. So when you are dead, now I'm linking this, Psalm 68, verse 20, to Ephesians 2, 1. You were dead in trespasses and sins. God says all of us were. And then God says in Psalm 68, He's the one that can deal with our issues of death, the fact that our trespasses have killed us. Then, all right, God says He's the only one that can get us out of death. You see, praise God, Muhammad can't get anybody out of death. He's dead. Okay? Buddha can't get anybody out of death. He's dead. Your own works can't get you out of death because you're spiritually dead. Look at verse 21, Psalm 68, verse 21. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Watch this. God says, I can save you and deliver you from death and load you down with blessings. But if you want to keep on in your trespasses and not trust me as your Savior, I'll bust your head. That's pretty stout, isn't it? God says, I'll brain you. You ever hear somebody say that? They got brained, they got hit in the head so hard, you know. God says, you want to keep on in your trespasses? God says, I will kick you in the head on judgment day because of your crossing the line and violating me. That's how bad our sin is. Amen? That's how come they need to get saved. Watch this. Now let's look at one last passage. So what? While you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I love this. In thinking about this from being saved, God Almighty loves you and is fully able and willing to save your soul, but don't toy with Him. Amen. Don't toy with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the last passage we'll look at tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ready? Watch this. So what are we supposed to do about our trespasses? Watch this. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What a beautiful word. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, watch this, not imputing or recording their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of, there's that word again, reconciliation. That means brought together in friendship. That's what the word reconciled means. Now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you or beg you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled or brought together in friendship to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we're an ambassador, right? And we have been sent, what's an ambassador? Someone who speaks on behalf of the king or the monarch they represent. And when you got saved, you became an ambassador. You now represent the king. If you're saved, you represent the king. Then, our message is the king is offering this to you. Will you accept his offer? You say, what offer? Here's the offer. The king said, my son died on a cross. I bruised him so I don't have to punish you. I punished him so I don't have to punish you. You can humble yourself and here's our message. You can humble yourself and trust him, and I will count his payment for your payment. Listen, or you can refuse him and I'll do to you everything that I did to him forever. That's our message. Right? You ever think about that? That's the offer. We've been sent, and we're supposed to beg others as though God is begging others by us. We're supposed to have His same passion and His same intensity when we tell others. Let me say it one more time. You can humble yourself and trust Him, and God says, I will count His payment for your payment. Or you can refuse Him, and I will do to you everything I did to Him forever. And it will never stop. What an offer. No other religion, no other has an offer from the Creator of the universe like we have. It's a full, free, complete, forever, by grace, through faith, because of the kindness and the mercy and love of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. There are some people who say, I'm saved, but their life's a mess. I didn't say your life being a mess doesn't mean that you're not saved, but when you don't know what salvation means, when you don't know how, when you don't know what happened, you don't know when it happened, it's just, I'm saved, I don't want to talk about it. I get scared for that, because I want them to be saved, you understand? I want them saved, but I'm saved, don't talk, I'm I would think if you're saved, that would be the one thing you'd want to talk about. It wouldn't be I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about it. I want to find another Christian I can praise God with, that God saved me and God saved them. Tonight we read the fourth verse in Ephesians 2. You don't have to turn there. I've heard these called the two most powerful words in the Bible, but God. but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then I'll just end with verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. I always pictured heaven being one of those things when I finally get to see him for the first time. And he says, I loved you. I'll say, I know you did. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:7, one of the things in the ages to come, that in the thousands and thousands of years to come, he's going to show us his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. God's going to say, come here. I don't know. Don't totally quote me on it, but I love thinking about it. Let you and me watch your life. Here you are being born. And we'll have time. We'll have all eternity. But wouldn't that be neat to sit down with the Lord and him saying, remember that time when you were this old? Remember that time when you were this old? That was me helping you right there. Remember here when that tragedy happened? I was getting your attention. I was loving you. Remember here? Remember here when you felt so lonely? God says, I was right there. Let's look at your whole life. And God says, in the ages to come, one of the things we'll do is we'll look at how much he loved us. But God... trespasses. One word. I hope it helps you praise God for your salvation, and I hope the message tonight helps you in our urgency as we tell others about the Lord. It's one aspect. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for yourself.